Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this happy, joyful occasion. We thank you, O Lord, for the estate of matrimony, the blessing that you've given to your creatures. We thank you, Lord, for Dan and Glenda. And we pray, O God, tonight that you bless them both and bless us all in your presence. We are here in the presence of God. We're here to worship and to praise thy name. And help us, O God, in all that we do. May it be for thy honor and for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're all very welcome to this occasion. Please take your order of service and turn to that opening hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the nearing waters roll, while the tempest still is high. And we'll remain standing as we sing this hymn unto the Lord. We are met here together in the presence of God to join together this man and this woman in the holy estate of matrimony. And this is done in accordance to the ordinance of God, to the word of God, and also the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Marriage is an honourable estate ordained by God as the foundation and bond of family life for the mutual help, society and comfort that husband and wife ought to have the one of the other, and for the bringing up of children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, into which holy estate these two persons, Daniel Rowley Jr., Glenda Kinnett, now desire to enter. Wherefore, if any person can show just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else forever hold his peace. I charge you both before God, that if either of you know any reason why you may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, you do now declare it. For they that are joined otherwise than God's law allows are not united by him, neither is their marriage lawful in his sight. Let's ask God's blessing in prayer. Eternal God, we do again come into thy presence. And as we come now to unite man and woman in the estate of matrimony, we do pray earnestly, O God, that your blessing would attend this union. We ask, O God, that we would know the real sense of thy presence, conscious of the solemnity of this occasion, and yet of its joy. Help us, O Lord, to pray much for Dan and Glenda in the days to come. Bless them as they would commence this phase of life in marital union. Bless them, O God, pour your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the congregation, please stand.
Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
Oh, thank Mr. Barnes for standing in, of course, for Florencio Kinnett, Glenda's father, who cannot be here. And again, it's an important aspect of the marriage ceremony, as a woman comes from the protective head of one head, namely her father, into the protective headship of another, namely her new husband. So thank you, Mr. Barnes, for standing in for Glenda's father today. Dan, will you have this woman to be your wife, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of marriage?
I will.
Glenda, will you have this man to be your husband, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of marriage?
I will.
Please join your right hands. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Dan Rowley,
to witness that I, Dan Rowley,
do take you, Glenda Kinnett,
to be my lawful wedded wife.
To have and to hold,
from this day forward, for
better or for worse,
for richer or for poorer,
in sickness and in health, to
love, honour, and cherish,
till death us do part,
according to God's holy ordinance.
And to this end,
I give you my pledge.
I call upon these persons here present to witness that I, Glenda Kinnett,
do take you, Dan Rowley,
to be my lawful wedded husband,
to have and to hold,
from this day forward,
for better or for worse,
for richer or for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
to love, honor, and obey,
till death us do part,
according to God's holy ordinance,
and to this end,
I give you my pledge.
I give you this ring
as a sign that I take you to be my lawful wedded wife. give you this ring as a sign that I take you to be my lawful wedded husband. Well, as you have consented together in holy marriage and have declared the same before God and these witnesses, I pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Dan and Glenda, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you, and indeed give you that peace. At this point, we're going to hear the scriptures read by Mr. Paul Trimble. You folks can take a seat.
We're turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Begin our reading at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
You need to come and sit beside your wife. No, you're okay. That's it. You need that. You can sit your rest. There are things to learn when you get married. You're
got to sit beside each other now. And we do bid you all a very warm word of welcome to this marriage ceremony. Can I be the first to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Rowley? Congratulations. We do wish you God's richest blessing in the Lord's name. Thank you all for coming on Dan and Glenn's behalf. We do appreciate those of you who come along, those of you part of Dan's friends and family. We do again appreciate you coming in the Lord's name. There is a light refreshments, a light reception after the close of the ceremony. Please all stay behind and enjoy that time downstairs in the church. The church basement. We can also welcome online. We trust everything's working technologically and that Dan's mother is able to watch on, his father, and also hopefully some of Glenda's family are also watching on what will be this morning in the Philippines. So trust all that is working out okay for them. If you are watching, we do welcome you again in the Lord's name. We're all going to stand together again and worship the Lord. The second hymn in the order of service, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. And again, these hymns were selected by Dan and Glenda, and they expressed their testimony. A couple saved by God's grace, united together now in the person of Christ. So let's stand together as we sing this hymn unto the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I mentioned at the very outset that this event of Christian marriage is something that takes place in the presence of God. It's a time of worship. We are here to worship and to praise His name, to give thanks for all of His blessings, and for bringing Dan and Glenda together in this estate of matrimony. But as we're in the presence of God, it is vitally important that we hear God speak. And the Word of God has been read. And let me read to you again another portion of God's Word, this time from the Old Testament and the book of Song of Solomon. If you want to follow along, there are Bibles in the pew in front of you. I'd encourage you to do that. You'll see in the pew in front, this is a section there, and there are hymn Bibles in the pews along with the hymn books. Song of Solomon is found just after the Psalms. You'll see the Psalms in the middle of the Bible, and then over a couple of books, and you'll get to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the verse 1. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the verse number 1. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Amen. May God bless this portion of his word for our heart's good. And this evening, let's bow together now in a word of prayer. And again, we're coming to the word of God. This is the way that God speaks to his people. And we're asking for him to speak to our hearts, all of us here tonight. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, again, we come with thankfulness in our souls. We thank you for your providence in bringing this event together tonight. We thank you for direction and guidance. We thank you for your word that adds your blessing upon marriage. We thank you even for the presence of Christ at the marriage of Canaan, and how he put his blessing upon matrimony with his own presence. And we ask, O Lord, that our Saviour, Jesus Christ, would come and speak to us even of himself tonight, that we would see him in the Word. Make the Word live and abide in our hearts, we do pray. Bless it to Dan and to Glenda, and to all who hear, we pray that the hearing of the ear would be a hearing of the heart, and the hearing of faith would be experienced tonight. And even some, perhaps in this place, who are strangers to the Saviour, would come to know him tonight unto the saving of their souls. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Marriage is used of God, ordained of God, to picture the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, the church. The church, that term used in our New Testaments, is a description of the people of God. And the church is referred to in the Bible as the bride of the Lamb. The Lamb speaks of Jesus Christ. And the church, therefore, as the bride of the Lamb, reminds us that marriage pictures the relationship that Christ has to his people. Our brother Paul Trimble read the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, which shows us that Paul uses the image to teach husbands and wives about what it is to love and sacrifice and to submit in service. Some of you perhaps are wondering, why do we make such a big deal about the modern notion of redefining marriage? It is in part because God has used marriage in a very special way to picture Christ and his church. And that is so precious to us that we do not want it touched and removed away from the will of the Lord. But because God uses that picture of marriage to picture Christ and the church, portions such as the one I've just read in Song of Solomon are often rightly used to proclaim the gospel truth about the love that Christ has for his church. And that is right and proper. Song of Solomon does teach as much regarding the relationship that Christ has to his church. But it is still, in the first place, a love song, a love poem. And it shows, in the ordinance of God, the propriety of human love, a man for a woman. God has placed this book in the Scriptures. And part of the benefits is that we would see the propriety of a man having a love for a woman and a woman for a man. Yes, it's in the Scriptures to go beyond that human love. It shows of the Savior's love, but it still helpfully portrays human affection. You see, what is marriage in itself? Well, marriage is a covenant of love. Malachi 2 refers to marriage under that term of covenant. And that is stronger than a promise. A covenant is a solemn, oath-bound pledge. You may have heard, we used a traditional form of service in the marriage of Dan and Glenda. The only person that said, "I do," was Mr. Barnes. Because the husband and the wife, they say, "I will." It's an act of the will to enter into covenant marriage. The strength of that word is very, very significant. They also use the term pledge. It's an old-fashioned word that speaks of a solemn, oath-bound promise. What you saw and what you witnessed today was something of great solemnity and great importance. It is a tragedy of our society today that marriage is something that people can take or leave. People either ignore it completely or else they enter into it lightly. It is a solemn thing in the presence of the Lord. And it is a covenant that involves and has at its very core the issue of love. Solomon, who wrote this beautiful love song, also wrote Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes 9 he says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity." Love is at the core of God's ordinance of marriage. Now love, again, in many people's minds is an emotion. And so you can love someone for a time, fall out of love, and therefore leave off your covenant commitments. But love in the Bible is an emotion, but it is also a choice. Husbands are told to love their wives. They are commanded to engage in that choice and that action of love, and to do so until death would part husband and wife. And so love that is an emotion is a choice. It is an action. And it's pictured for us here in these words in Song of Solomon chapter 2. And I want to just point out some of the features of the love described here in Song of Solomon chapter 2. And the first thing to note is what I might term the exclusivity of marital love. The exclusivity of marital love. Love is to be exclusive. Look what it says. Verse 2. "As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Here the spouse is speaking, the groom. And he describes his bride as a lily among thorns, but as my love among the daughters. And the bride then responds, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." And the sense is that they have singled each other out. They have chosen, selected, picked each other. If you like, they have eyes only for one another. Marriage is to be exclusive. Of all the daughters, Dan has chosen to marry Glenda. Of all the sons, Glenda has chosen to marry Dan. They've entered into an exclusive relationship. And if I can speak to you both, keep it that way. Do not ever allow that to slip. You've entered into an exclusive bond, and you must guard that ferociously. It's true today, but it must be true from now on. You must guard your marriage tenaciously. You must beware what may seem like seemingly harmless relationships, friendships with the opposite sex. You must ensure, under God, that you keep eyes only for one another. Biblical marriage is exclusive. There must never, ever be another person enters into the marriage. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. Marital love in the Bible is exclusive. But it's also pure. And so you think in the second place about the purity and the beauty of marital love. Now these words, Christ speaking here in the first verse, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." Again, Solomon is speaking about the Savior, prophetically pointing forward to Christ who came into this world. We'll think about it in a few weeks' time as Christ came into the world. And he came in pure form. He is the lily. The bride, also referred to as a lily among thorns. There's a distinction there. But again, the church's beauty is in the relationship with Christ. But this relationship to the lily refers to beauty and to purity. Marriage is pure. Paul says in Hebrews 13 that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God values the purity of the marital bond. It is honorable. The word speaks of being precious. Marriage is a great thing, but it is ruined by impurity. But it's also beauty. There is a delight here. A delight between groom and bride, between the spouses. There's a delight in one another. Now, it's often said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I'm making no comment on that. You both look very well today, but I'm making no comment regarding the matter of beauty and it being in the eye of the beholder. See, true joy in marriage delights in the inner beauty of the spouse. And I'm very glad as a Christian minister to be here tonight and to join together those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. Those who, despite their undoubted faults, have the work of God in their hearts. And therefore they have this inner beauty. And it is my prayer for you both that as your knowledge of one another increases, so your appreciation will increase. In the early days of marriage, as a couple begin to live together, the faults are very easily seen. Now, those of you who've been married for some time, you'll appreciate that. In those early days, you can see each other's faults. Now, can I encourage you? Seek to see the beauty in one another. To delight in one another. And sometimes you may have to put a blind eye to some of the things you may see because you want to delight. Delight in the beauty of the marital love. So you have that issue. But in the third place, you have the safety of marital love that is mentioned here. The bride speaks here and she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Now the apple tree involved here, the eastern apple tree, was perhaps larger than some of the ones you may see in orchards around here. But the branches would fall over in a canopy. And under the canopy of the apple tree, there would be rest and shade from the sun. The apple tree was used that way. Again, the traveler walking would be walking in the heat of the sun and conscious of the trials of the working day. And they would go under the apple tree to find rest away from the sun. Here the bride uses this picture of her husband. He is like the apple tree to my soul. He is the shadow under which I can delight. Can I exhort you as your pastor, as the minister of God in this place? May you ensure that Glenda finds you to be someone under whom she can rest when life may be tough. Peter says that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together to the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. One of the things that men must understand is that their wives are different than they are. And our brother Dan was telling me the other night, we were talking, and he was saying, well, he's been single for quite some time. So you've got to learn quickly that your wife is different than you are. And she will respond to trials and troubles differently than you will. But you must ensure that your duty under God is to be a protective place that she can find rest and peace. And God will give you the grace to do that. But you must pray that God would help you to be tender and to cherish her, and that she would delight in you as the bride here delights in the apple tree under whose shadow she finds great delight. The safety of marital love. There's also the supply here, the fourth thing, the supply of marital love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. The picture here is of provision and supply.
Physical provision? Well, yes, of course. The flagons refers to the fruit of the vine that brings support and comfort. The apples, again, something to replenish and to nourish and to give joy and delight. It is picture language. And again, it reminds us that in the context of Christian marriage, there is a continual supply of love. Both husband and wife, they love one another. And as such, they will sacrifice self and time and energy and affection. Do not give up on loving one another. You're married now. It doesn't stop, therefore. The desire to woo and to draw a bride or a groom, that must not stop the minute the rings are put upon the finger. Here, the couple, they describe this continual delight, the supply that comes in marital love. In the last place, you see the intimacy of this marital love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. The bride says, I am sick of love. Doesn't mean she's fed up with it. It means that she is so overwhelmed with the love that the groom pours out upon her that she feels that sickness of love. The abundance of love. There is nearness, companionship. The left hand under her head and the right hand embracing her speaks of that intimacy, that closeness, that contentment in being in each other's company. It is a privilege, it is a blessing, and again, it must be maintained. Such intimacy requires you both to walk with God. Do not allow sin to come into your marriage whereby there will be a division. You must be careful, patient, kind, loving. You must communicate freely, talk of offenses, explain when you've been annoyed, and be prepared to be humble, to confess your sins, and to encourage that intimacy together in the bonds of marital love. Marriage is indeed a great blessing. And you know what, brother? You will not be a perfect groom. Glenda, he's not going to be perfect. Glenda, you're probably going to have some faults as well. I don't know you so well, but you're probably going to have some faults as well. But you know, this beautiful portion, it points our minds to Jesus Christ, who is the perfect groom. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ is the one who has set his love upon his church. The Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ coming in love to do the Father's will. His name is Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. He came to support and to comfort the sinner. He said to the sinner, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ is that perfect groom. He is the one who provides shade from the sun of God's wrath. The sun beating down upon the sinner, conscious of their guilt before God, they come under Christ. And in Christ there is shade from the wrath of God. There, as the tree absorbs the sun, the believer finds a shade under the tree. And so it is for the Christian. Christ absorbs the sun, the S-U-N of God's wrath on the cross. And believers find themselves under the shade of Christ. And there's rest from the wrath of God. They come under the affection of Christ, who will care for them, nourish them, nurture them. He will stay them with flagons and comfort them with apples. He is the one who will love them abundantly. It is my prayer tonight that you would see in Jesus Christ one who is altogether worthy of love. Human love is always love between those who are imperfect. But Christ is without sin. And his person is altogether lovely, and we can love him fully. He is one who we should see as beloved among the sons of men. I am a preacher of the gospel of Christ.
And therefore, as we are met in the presence of God, it is my responsibility to inform you of the duty of the Christian gospel. The Bible's gospel is not to be good or to be religious. The Bible's gospel is that you would love Christ more than everything else. It is that you would love Christ more than your sin. Love Christ more than your religion. Love Christ more than your professed goodness. That Christ would be the fairest of 10,000 to your soul, the chiefest of all in your heart. For those who are saved, those who love Christ, who run from sin, who confess sin and run to Him, those who are so saved have the prospect one day of sitting down at something the Bible calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can read that in Revelation at your own time. You can turn there and you can see the description of that blessed time when the church come together with their groom in what's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. A feast. A time of great joy and great blessing. And those who are born again, the Spirit of God, those who trust in Christ and run from sin, they are invited to that time. And for those who remain spiritually single, for those who die without being married to Christ, the Bible says that they are told to go outside. They're cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The opposite of the marriage supper of the Lamb is the terrible place of the torments of hell. And thus, on this happy occasion of matrimony, I noticed Dan and Glenda's prayer that all of you would come by faith to be wed to Christ, and that He would be your perfect groom. You have the gladness and the joy of one day being in His presence. So Dan and Glenda, you have a solemn responsibility to love one another. It's a great privilege. It's a great joy. But it's also a privilege to picture Christ in this world. May God help you and give you grace. Dan, I want you to stand at this time. Just you, up you get. As a minister of the gospel, I want to give you a Bible. This is for you. Now, I know you love the book already, but you're starting out married life, and this must be your only rule of faith and practice. This must be the book that rules your home. And may God give you help to do so in His name. Take a seat. Now please turn to the last hymn in your order of service. O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou ever near me, my Master and my Friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou wilt be my guide. We're going to stand at the close of the hymn. I'd ask you all to please remain standing. We'll have the benediction, and we'll give thanks for the refreshments, and then the bridal party will leave, and they will make their way to the door, and you can go out and greet them, and then head on down, and as we would say, get stuck in. In Northern Ireland, we'd say, like, go and get stuck into the food, enjoy the food. It's laid out for you there. Go and enjoy. We'll give thanks now, and please go ahead and enjoy the refreshments, and then Dan and Glenda will join. We'll join you very shortly as well. So let's stand together and sing this hymn again unto the Lord.
Here.
Eternal God, thou art the Lord God Almighty, and the God of heaven and earth. We praise you, Lord, for your presence with us together tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the language you use to describe the love that your Son has for his people. We thank you he came and gave his life a ransom for many upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, he rose again from the dead. We bless you, God, for a risen Savior who loves us even now, and he loves his people unto the end. And we pray, O God, for this gathering, that your blessing would rest and abide upon us all. We pray that you'd help us to eat and drink to your glory. Help us to enjoy the reception together in a manner fitting of this happy occasion. Help us, O God, to have that conversation that is edifying and that brings glory again to your name. In all things, O Lord, we pray that we'd enjoy your presence and the refreshing presence of our dear and lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bless us now. Dismiss us later in your fear. And may your favor rest and abide upon us all. We do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So he's very much part of the family, and I think we all were keen to listen. We wanted the whole church to come, so those who came. Some of them aren't working, and they'd like to have been here but couldn't come. So that's just the way of things. But see, downstairs there are refreshments. Downstairs tables are set. So yeah, no, I'll see you before you go. Good to meet you. Good to meet you. Great. Yes, sir. That's a happy occasion. Yeah. Hi, folks. How are you? Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Good to see you. You friends with Dan?
Yes.
Good. Oh, wonderful. Thanks for coming. Head on down, there's food and refreshments all there, so go and enjoy the. Nice. Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you, folks. You're very welcome. Are you friends of Dan's? Or?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And his parents.
Very good, very good. Well, that's wonderful. Well, that was nice to. Yes, yeah, the north part. So. Yes, yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah. And
Welsh. Is it Charles? Charles. Okay. I was thinking there's a guy Charles over there as well at times. So, I worshipped with some Korean, the Korean Bible Church in London. There's a fellowship there in London, New Life Bible Presbyterian Church. But it's a Korean, ethnically Korean church. Good. It's wonderful. Well, we're so glad you're here today. I appreciate that. So, well, there's food served downstairs. Go and enjoy the refreshment. I'll see you down there. Yeah. That mic worked okay, did it?
Yeah.